What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting, the podcast all about the average flawed dad learning to be a better parent. Today, we're talking about the power of praise and its impact on a child's self-esteem. And we'll probably touch on the effect of sarcasm and piggybacking and the other things that you shouldn't be doing as a dad. Stick around and listen as two flawed dads figure out how not to screw up our kids too bad. Hey, Graham, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Warren. Thanks so much for having us around. It's always good to chat or debrief over all the different things that we've screwed up on over the week. And
which are plenty.
What we're going to do in the future to really fix and adjust the course.
Definitely. And I think we've got some pretty good topics today. Did you want to start with a bit of a rehash of what we chatted about last week with regards to the Danish guide? Or the Danish guide to parenting.
It's a mouthful.
It is.
Sometimes it is. That was the biggest part. Yeah, the 7 points, I guess, that we'll really go over is pay attention to your negativity. It's what we talked about last week. And just really noticing when you have that negative thought and trying to adjust the course a little bit. And work on taking a step back and thinking of what it is that you can do instead. Then the second step is having done that, thinking about reframing and trying to change the phrase and look at maybe the other side of things instead.
Yeah, I remember a bit of that was with regards to understanding why something happened rather than just going straight after it.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then the third point is using less limiting language. Mm-hmm. So that is one thing that I've been trying to work on over the past while is saying you always do this. You're always leaving your shoes out. It's not necessarily true. It's a lot of the time, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not always.
The always and the nevers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never, I thought, you know, whatever it is. And it doesn't give us much room to change course. It's a very absolute fact.
Yeah.
And then the fourth point is separating the actions from the person individually. So rather than just saying like, hey, Warren, you're a lazy sack of potatoes. Like,
right.
This is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's thinking about, well, you've been hit by a little lazy bug over the past little bit and trying to figure out what that is. It's, you're not an angry person. You just have maybe moments of being angry.
Yeah. You just have some deep-seated anger issues.
It's just a little bit. You're not a burning coal of anger 100% of the time.
Yeah. At least not at the surface.
Just 95% of the time. And then this one's a little bit more intensive. It's sort of going over and changing and listing out the different qualities of the actual child that you're thinking of. And it says rewrite your child narrative to be more loving. So trying to focusing on the positive sides of those same behaviors that you've ruled out your negative child list that you're
right. The nailing it to their door and these are the list of things we'd like you to change sort of thing. Right. Yeah.
That's the biggest point and that's the part that I've always thought about is writing out this list. And if any of your children can read, man, you want to make sure that list is under lock and key.
It goes into the fireplace with Santa's letter, right? Yeah.
Leave that on the kitchen table for a lively dinner time discussion.
Perfect for teenagers. Yeah. you want to really, really cement that foundation of mistrust. There you go. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Burn half of it.
Yeah.
Leave the rest of the half on there just for them to fill in the rest. Sixth point was using supporting language, which is, you know, trying to figure out their emotions a little bit and go on rather than just reacting. And then last point, which I think you and I do reasonably well. Seventh point we have on lock is using humor and trying to, you know, make light of the situation a little bit.
But even when it's misplaced. Yeah.
Not so much so that it's entirely off cue.
Right.
Yeah, your boyfriend broke up with you and, you know, let's just talk about those Knicks. Let's talk about them Knicks and make funny jokes and things like that. Maybe not the best place.
Yeah, that's right.
So those are the main 7 points that we talked about.
And did you get a chance to try to implement some of these? Because I know I certainly tried over the week and there was a couple of stories where they worked particularly well. And then, you know, there's a couple where maybe not so much. But if you've got any that you want to jump into.
I think for me, the biggest part of all of this is that, I mean, it's been a week and to change anything over a week's time, it's hard. That's the reason why we're doing this podcast is one, to hold us a little bit of accountable ourselves.
Yeah. And actually try these out. Yeah.
But also realize that, geez, it's, you know, a lot of these parenting hacks you read or books or whatever, it's like a gunshot of stuff and strategies to think about. And you sort of get overwhelmed by all these different tactics and things.
Mm-hmm.
And even the 7 tips about how to solve it. You know, it's hard to really even focus on all 7.
Oh, I certainly didn't get through all 7 in the week.
So the thing that I really worked on, I think, was more the less limiting language.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think I've noticed a little bit. It's easy to fall into that trap of saying like, oh, you know, you always do this. Like, you're such a horrible child. I can't believe you never say thank you. You never clean up your plates and things.
Yeah.
And trying to, that was one of my main focuses, is not that I use it a whole bunch, but I do use it for sure.
Yeah.
And trying to fix that, just to use little bit less absolute parts that we talked about. Negativity as well. That was sort of the B to the focus of things. Just trying to look at the bright side a little bit more. I think that's a good mindset that any of us should get into anyways, regardless, you know, parenting or not, just overall, you know, well, we'll get over it. There's nothing I can do to change it type thing. Kumbaya.
Yeah.
Move on type stuff. So I think that was the second point that I really worked on. The week went by so fast. I can't say that I have a particular story so far, but those are the two ones that I really worked on.
I know we had a couple of situations even today with one of our daughters getting sent to the principal's office for some comments that she made, and so we had to address this when she got home from school. And you know, one of the things we really did, or that I tried to do, was ensure that I was reframing in order to understand why this happened. And, you know, the original version of the story I got left out a number of the details that were very pertinent to why the whole thing took place in the first place. And by drilling down and going back and going, okay, no, Warren, you need to understand why this was happening in the first place, rather than just jumping to, well, this is what you should have done in that situation and trying to solve it right away. You know, I asked more probing questions, and those probing questions uncovered that, well, I mean, there was a series of mistruths told in the first version of the story, but that, you know, it helped me to uncover some of the bigger issues that took place that caused the whole situation. At the same time, you know, the whole limiting language thing, I found, you know, I don't use it a whole lot anyways. My wife is probably a little more prone to using limiting language. But what I've found myself doing was trying to ensure that my daughter wasn't using the limiting language. Was going back and, you know, when she'd say something, well, that's not possible, or I could never do that, those sorts of things, is trying to train her to understand that things aren't limited and that trying something isn't the end of the world, even if it does result in failure, that never or it's impossible or can't are words that really shouldn't be in our vocabulary. Or at least they should be in our vocabulary a lot less. So we tried out both of those in terms of the, you know, writing out a list of the negative qualities for her child, I didn't give that an attempt. I didn't even start on that one because I thought that's a rabbit hole that I'm not quite prepared to go down at the moment. Because if I'm going to list out their negative qualities, I should probably do that for myself first. And I just was afraid that I'd run out of ink before I actually got to the end of it. So we tried out those two, really reframing, changing limiting language. And I found that they were both very successful and things that I will continue to do in my parenting style.
I think that's one of the big, just listening to a lot of that. Now I'm generalizing maybe a little bit here, but I think that overall, guys, you know, one of the things that we like to do straight away is, you know, jumping to the solution right away.
Definitely.
And that's one of the things that, I mean, that's a separate conversation, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, overall, one of this part is sort of trying to almost debrief a situation, asking a little bit more questions and trying to, you know, figure that, oh, it's probably not just one specific answer here, but just don't do that narrow. Maybe there's something, a backstory or whatever it is. And yeah, that's the biggest, I think, thing that I've really focused on or realized is that I try to solve the problem right away.
Yeah.
And sometimes,
well, we're almost predisposed to it. Is you know, knight in shining armor syndrome, just running straight towards the problem and trying to battle the dragon rather than going, well, maybe it's actually a friendly dragon who's looking to pay us a compliment but has to do it in fire. You know, we don't really understand the problem when we're running headfirst into it. So, yeah, I think taking a breather and getting to the core of the issue is a really important thing to do.
Yeah. So we're going to, with that in mind, I guess we're going to move on to our next topic.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So we're going to talk about the power of praise.
Yes. And the damaging effects. How we're destroying our children with all our niceties. We can't have that at all.
Yeah. Well, the piggybacking sarcasm. I know sarcasm is a big problem for myself. You know, again, being a flawed dad. Recognizing some of these issues that creep into the way that I speak and deal with my kids. So I'm very interested to hear what you have to say about some of the key things that we can do with regards to praise to help boost our child's self-esteem and what are some of the things that we shouldn't be doing after we provide praise.
Now, again, you know, for listeners out there, My children are a little younger overall, from an age perspective than Warren's are. He got a jump start on it than I did. And, you know, my one daughter's 6 and the other daughter's 2. And so, you know, a bit of an age range there. But that's one thing that I definitely noticed to begin with when I was first raising the oldest child, McKenna. Sarcasm just does not play because there's no sarcasm involved. It's just a fact.
Everything's that you're literal.
Saying. Yeah. Everything is just straight up. This is what you're saying. And the joke that you're trying to make is not it just doesn't go through.
It doesn't land.
It's not the way that you're looking for.
You don't get the anticipated chuckle.
No. I love getting chuckle poured on me. Right? And, thank you for bringing this toilet paper water.
Right, yeah.
You know, this toilet paper filled with water. Yeah. Like I really enjoy that, you know, the sarcasm doesn't play. They think like they're really doing something good and they'll mm-hmm. do it again next time.
Yeah.
And the lessons learned there and still for heavily sarcastic people, especially like myself, that's still a lesson that's hard to go through.
It's taking a little while to sink in. Yeah.
My 6-year-old has certainly, she's starting to, I've started to train her well. She said, Dad, that's sarcasm.
Yeah.
And so she's starting to pick it up a little bit more. But, you know, the 2-year-old has a ways to go.
Yeah. Yeah. My kids have definitely started saying, Dad, don't be so sarcastic. So they're starting to understand it. But I'm sure there's more positive things that I could be doing with that language. So
this is the main part of the reason why this came up is from a book called The Nurture Shock, by two authors called Poe Bronson and Ashley Merriman.
Hey, we both remembered the name and could pronounce it this time.
Killing it. Yeah, I practiced that tons of times. Well, although that's not necessarily true. I mean, perhaps it is Poe Bronson. Yeah. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing it there, Poe. Anyways, they go on. One of the big parts that they talk about, and that's there's a lot of different topics they talk about in the book, but one of the things that really struck home about it was the power of praise. Mm-hmm. And basically why you shouldn't be doing praise in the way that I think any one of us would have thought that we were going to be doing praise that we normally do. I mean, after reading this book and you go to the playground or whatever it is and you hear these things go on and you feel like a dick if you go over it, obviously. Hey, I've read this book from Poe
right.
Bronson.
Right.
And
it's something that should be done through a podcast, not in person, is what you're saying?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a better avenue.
Yeah.
But it's interesting seeing it play out and how many times it is done and definitely the way that I was doing it before as well. Because you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And this book really talked a lot about studies.
Okay.
And they've done all the hard work. Mm-hmm. We've done more of the hard work by actually reading the book.
Right.
And now we're Cole's notes versioning it to everyone else here.
Yeah.
So I guess the neat part about this and the horrible effects that it has just on a small scale. These people at Columbia University, and you know, mm-hmm. university's always doing studies and everything.
Yeah.
They took 400 fifth graders and they split them in between two different groups.
Okay.
Right? And they were trying to figure out, again, what happens with the types of praise. Mm-hmm. And this is talking about, is this different types of what we learned? It's not just, you know, you did a great job. Like, you're a genius.
Right.
Like, I can't believe that you made this square. It is the best square I've ever seen in my life. You are destined to make the best squares and you're going to be an architect from
like
here on
like
out.
A version of like an absolute praise.
That's
like
right.
telling somebody what they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the best. And then there's another type of praise where it's talking about, you know, maybe it was a really good square, but the effort that they put into it instead. You must have spent a really long time making that square. I can really tell.
Okay. Actionable praise.
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Exactly.
Okay.
If you break it down. So they split these 400 fifth graders,
mm-hmm.
Into two different groups. Right. And so they would take all the different children, and they'd give them a test, a nonverbal test, just an IQ test, some puzzles, easy type questions that any of these fifth graders should be able to answer, right?
Sure. So
okay. Nothing hard at all.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, you watch that show. You ever, what's that show?
Are you smarter than a fifth
smarter
grader?
Than a fifth grader?
Yeah.
And you see some of those questions, you think, holy.
Yeah. I
am not
that.
Smarter
yeah,
than a fifth grader. Some of those questions. So this was like below the fifth grade level from what I gathered.
You right. Know,
it's easy questions, not those types of questions, mm-hmm. because even that I wasn't able to hit. And so with those two split groups, after the test, didn't matter their score, they'd be given the score and then different types of praise. One group would be told, you must be really smart at this. That's the word that you must be really smart at this.
Okay.
Okay. Those are the words.
So that's the absolute praise. The
100%. You must be the best child ever, essentially.
Okay.
That's the message they've received. You must
sure.
be really smart at this.
Which one would assume is a great thing to do, giving
yeah, natural.
A child praise over their state of being.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Then the next group, the other half there, the 200 kids, said, you must have worked really hard.
Okay.
Okay? And to me, like, you must have worked really hard. Like,
Yeah, it doesn't tell me where I am versus all my peers.
That's just a weak.
Yeah, right. Okay.
What's that going to do, right? Yeah. Just reading that to think, you know, snap judgment here. Which one's going to, I mean, one's making the kid happy. Like, it must be really smart. I'm head high.
Maybe it's
ready
my
to go.
Competitive nature kicking in. But I want to be the genius kid. I don't want to be the one that worked really hard.
Yeah. He must have worked really hard. That's a participation medal. Yeah. What is this? I don't want this. Right? So that was my snap judgment.
Yeah.
So then there was a second test that they give.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But this time, not every person was just given the same test. They were given a choice.
Okay.
Okay. And so one would be way more difficult than the first. But the kids were told that they would learn a lot from actually trying these puzzles.
Okay.
Okay. So, hey, Johnny, you can take this one test. It's way harder, mm-hmm. but I think you're going to learn a lot from it.
Okay.
Okay? Or you can take the other test, and it's an easy test, just like the first test.
Right.
Right? Which test do you want to
check? Right, yeah.
Yeah. Going into...
Yeah, anyways. Yeah, Freudian slip. Yeah, I think we talked about Freud last time. Yeah. Yeah.
It's late, you know, haven't seen my wife in a bit. Anyways.
Hi, Vanessa.
So... Which test, what are they going to take, mm-hmm. right? I mean, what do you think they would choose overall between the two groups? One that said, hey, you must have worked really hard on this, and the other one, you must be really smart.
I have to imagine that the kids that were told that they would work really hard are probably going to take the harder test. And then the kids that are told that they're really smart would probably take the harder test as well because they feel that they're smart.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it seems both for different reasons.
Okay.
You would think that they would take the harder test anyways, right? Well, not the case.
Okay.
Of the people that were actually praised for their effort, you must have worked really hard. 90% of those people chose the harder test.
Oh, wow. That's a big percentage.
Wow. I mean, that's...
When they could have just taken the easier test and gotten...
So that's in line. Yeah. That's in line with what we were sort of...
Yeah.
At least maybe I thought, well, okay, yeah, they'd probably take the harder test.
Yeah.
Okay. They didn't give the statistic on the other side, the actual percentage,
mm-hmm.
but they did say of the people that were, you know, praised for their smarts, the majority... chose the easy test.
So more than 50% chose to do the easy test.
Yeah, they didn't.
Versus 90% of the kids that were praised for effort taking the harder test.
Yeah. And these are, this was not, of the 400 children, right? It wasn't, you know, oh, I'm going to pick the people that I'm going to choose. It was just split down the middle.
Right.
And, you know, tossed out. That was amazing to me. I mean, again, the majority, so let's say it's 55% or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, that's still way, I mean,
yeah.
Call it one out of two.
Yeah.
If you gave the praise on the effort, you know, one of the two times someone else is, it just,
yeah.
A huge difference.
That's a very big difference. If you want your kid to have drive and motivation, you know, to praise effort or actionable things, I imagine that would also be true for things like that was such a kind thing to do, you know, that was so thoughtful or compassionate. Those sorts of things would probably be better than saying, oh, you're a kind child or you're a very charitable person, that sort of thing.
Then there was a third test, and I can't remember... I'm sorry, I'm maybe mixing a little bit of it, but there was definitely a third test given.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might have been given to seventh graders instead.
Okay.
Just, you know.
So a couple years more.
A couple years later. Yeah. Or maybe it was 2 years after the first test.
Okay.
That part I'm missing out a little bit. The point, though, is that, again... there was a third test where there was no choice given. It was just a really hard test.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone got this hard test this
time.
Okay. And the kids that were given the praise on the effort side, when they debriefed and talked about the actual test after that, the words that they were using were something like, I didn't focus as hard on this time. And they were really, really involved with the people to try and figuring out and trying every solution for the puzzle. And a lot of them saying that was their favorite test.
Okay.
Even though it was crushingly hard.
Right.
Nobody did well whatsoever. They saw it as a really positive. Like, oh, that was like...
They learned to appreciate the challenge.
I appreciated the challenge. I couldn't believe it. The smart kids, we'll just classify, they were just crushed.
Right.
They just figured that they weren't really smart at all.
Yeah.
And that they were... doing the test, they were straining, they were uncomfortable, they just looked absolutely miserable throughout it, and just depressed at the end of it.
Because their self-image is being destroyed by a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so then a fourth round, I can't believe how long this overall...
The study went on for.
Yeah. Fourth test now, okay, just as easy as the first round, okay... And the effort kids, okay, again, they improved their first score by about 30%.
Wow, okay.
Okay, the smart kids did worse by 20%.
Because they'd had failures along the way and their self-esteem and everything
so crushed.
Had been, wow.
20%, I mean, that's a 50% switch. I mean, if you look at it that way, an absolute... Yeah. Change, right? 30% improvement overall, people given the effort. Looking at hard tests as that was really fun.
Yeah.
That was my best test. I really enjoyed trying to figure out different angles versus being absolutely crushed that a hard test was no good, being comfortable, sweating, and then going back to an easy thing and doing worse.
That makes a pretty compelling case for changing the way that we provide praise. And you would think that wouldn't make such a difference, right? To just change a couple words from, you know, you're very smart to, you know, you worked really hard to accomplish that. Like, you know, effort based. I never would have thought that the difference in results would be so significant.
I mean, that's huge. And that, that blew me away.
Right.
I mean, I read that and I ran and... ran and talked to my wife. We gotta cut this out right quick.
Ran to your daughter and went, "You're not a genius."
Yeah, that's right.
But I like how you work really hard. Yeah.
Do we counteract this? Do we tell them they're really stupid? Is that what we do here? We've been telling them they're smart for a bit of time. Do we try? No. Let's just not do that.
Yeah. Let's just change our focus. But I think that's one of the important things is understanding that no matter how far along you are in your parenting, that you can change or correct course at this point to just change the way that you say it. I mean, it's not a big difference in words.
No.
It's you're really smart too. I really like the effort you put into that.
Yeah.
Right?
And to me, actually, I've thought about this. The biggest hardest part is not just changing what you're saying as well. And I mean,
the way they think about themselves.
But I'm thinking about the grandparents.
Right.
And everyone else is involved with this.
Doting grandparents who are like, "Oh, you're such a genius," right?
Wow, I can't believe
you're so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things like that. I mean, if your grandparents are around and actually involved quite often, as some grandparents are, we're fortunate enough to have some grandparents that live near us. And so they're around quite often. And so the more that they're around, if they're using that same type of stuff, you know, you have to almost have a training session with them too. Like, hey, you know, this is the new strategy here.
Yeah.
We're trying to increase performance by 50%. That's a really big swing.
It's worth the effort.
We all need to be on board on this here.
Yeah.
No telling. I know it's so easy to say, "Oh, you're so smart at that," when they get whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, assuming the kids get some things right every now and then.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that was the other part too. And now this is obviously in the book, they've done the work on the funnel of everything, right?
Right.
They've done the work of finding this study who did a whole bunch of work, and then we're reading the book and then talking about it.
Yeah.
But supposedly this experiment or these studies and things have been done for every type of class and sex out there. So supposedly, like, the very brightest girls especially, they were crushed the most following failure.
Okay.
So if you happen to have girls, which
we both do, yeah.
You're not going to hear any life lessons for boys from these two guys right here, because it's all girls.
Flawed dads parenting girls, yeah.
That's right. Everybody else can maybe chime in a little bit, but if you have girls, they are crushed even more so
right.
about failure than at least from this. So that was... You know, out of the things that I've read, that was the biggest part that I couldn't believe. You know, that small change. And it's a small change.
Really. It is. It really is.
It's not huge.
I imagine it takes a little bit, and I think it's important for dads to understand that, you know, it does take a little bit to change that language and to move towards that actionable-based praise. And so...
Absolutely.
You know, you don't have to change all on day one, but... If we can gradually change it, a 50% swing in their success rate is huge.
Yes.
It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, you out of the 7 times you say it, if you get 1 in the first time, you know, first couple of days, hey, that's 1 of the 7 times better than you've done
that's
before.
Right.
And you go for 2 and you go for 3 and go for more.
Yeah.
And then I started to think about all the different things. I mean, surely if it's just from school and tests and things like that, well then, you know,
every other aspect of their life,
every other thing too, like what else can we talk about?
Relationships, everything.
So the book also talked about is on the same sort of topic, but it's actually just, you know, the first time we're going very multicultural here. The first book that we talked about was about
Danish.
The Danish side, so we're going outside of North America. This is looking at both people from Illinois, is very specific, and Hong Kong. So, a bit of a change there.
Yeah, different learning environments, different parenting styles. Yeah.
So, they did the same tests, but just with 2 different, you know, locations, obviously. And so, this involved the moms instead, okay? So, rather than having the kids take the IQ test after school... so they got them to the like scholar's office, is what they called it in the campus. And so the moms were sitting in the waiting room, and then again, half and half were given the, some were given the really hard test where they could only get maybe half right. In basically giving a sense of failure, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't do very well. And then the kids were given a 5-minute break before the next test. And then the mothers were allowed to go in and talk with their child. And the moms were told the actual score. And then were told a lie that the score represented a below average result.
Okay.
And then hidden cameras recorded the interactions between the mothers.
Between the mom and the child.
And the child.
Okay.
Yeah. And so sort of a fun anecdotal thing, like what do you think the conversation would be? Do you want to take a guess at all?
Oh, I have to imagine it was berating of how poorly they scored and that sort of thing.
From which side? On both sides or from one particular group over the other?
Like, so
remember, one from Hong Kong, mothers from Hong Kong, mothers from Illinois.
I mean, this is brutally stereotyping, but I would imagine that in Hong Kong, the moms would be much more critical of their children for getting it wrong. But I have a feeling that I've got it completely backwards and that Illinois is a little more accepting of the underwhelming performance. And do I have it completely backwards?
I think you have the right concept.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that is the ultimate. So The Illinois mothers, we'll call them, they just basically totally avoided making any type of negative comments.
Okay.
They were focused, like they were upbeat and positive. The majority of the time was spent, they're talking about every other topic, basically other than the actual test.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
My son really really dogged it on that one, but we'll just talk about whatever it is, and that's
yeah, we'll avoid point. The subject.
The people from Hong Kong, the mothers from Hong Kong, actually, they weren't blasting them for how horrible they did.
Okay.
They actually just talked about you didn't concentrate while doing it. Kind of an encouraging statement to a like, point, right?
Giving them hope that there was another option if they were to do things differently.
Yeah, I think you can
do better. Rather than you're stupid, it was...
Yeah, you didn't concentrate, which is a totally different... It's kind of that same point, right? Yeah. It's not saying, like, you're a moron.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I can't believe how horrible you did. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It was... You didn't concentrate hard enough. That was one of the things. And then
because an action is alterable, whereas what you are is very difficult to change. Yeah. Okay.
And then they use the words of "let's look over your test."
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the time, the Hong Kong mothers were spent talking about the test and the importance.
So actually engaging in the activity.
Let's look it over.
Sure.
Here's what we can do, etc. Right. Okay. So second test now.
Okay. Yeah.
Second test, from what I remember, same type of difficulty.
Okay.
Okay. Same level of hardness. Who does better now? Right?
I'm
alluding to it.
Yeah. I have an idea here. I'm guessing the the Hong Kong kids do better.
33% higher on the second test. Right?
And how about the Illinois kids?
So it said more than twice the gain of the kids from Illinois. So...
Okay, so the kids from Illinois still did better, but they
ignoring it entirely.
Yeah,
you still do better the second time.
Sure, yeah, because you've got some experience.
Yeah,
but having experience with support and constructive criticism.
Yeah,
right. That deals with actionable items.
Yeah.
Doubles the improvement.
And that's the
the takeaway.
That's the takeaway.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Doubles. Yeah. Right. Changing something or other again, you're doubling the effort. So, and that's a different topic. It's not just saying, you know, I like that you worked hard. This is being a little bit more critical about the situation. It's not looking at the positive side of things that they've done well on a test.
Yeah.
This is now looking at the other side of things and saying, you must not have worked it. Let's go through it and, you know, and figure things out together. And yeah, it's a process and you know, learning is a fun time and things like that. So the Hong Kong mothers were, you know, the choice words, they were firm.
Right.
The people, I think my natural thought process, even thinking about reading that part about saying, okay, well, you must have concentrated very hard and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that maybe their overall facial expressions and things would maybe be a little bit more harsh and to the
right,
point.
Yeah.
Right. But the Hong Kong mothers versus the Illinois mothers, they smiled and hugged their children just as much as the Illinois. So the Hong Kong mothers,
they could do it without having a feeling of ill will.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. They still were, you know, lighthearted just as much as everyone else. So it wasn't like, you know, we're going to go home and I'm going to bring the ruler out.
Right.
And, you know, you're really going to feel this because you didn't work hard type stuff. It's, they still hugged their children. They still smiled. They worked whatever it is. And again, I mean, a 50% to like,
yeah,
you said, twice as much.
A doubling of the increase in results that's
not 50%, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. That's proof in the pudding.
Boy.
Yeah.
And that, so, I mean, if you were to look at it, when times are tough, it's better to be accommodating and like, hey, this is what we can do and let's work harder next time. Maybe you didn't concentrate hard enough. I think you can do better and, you know.
Yeah, rather than, you know, brushing it under the rug.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to do one thing, it seems, right? Praise them on the high side or praise them or try and work on this criticism and things like positively on the low side.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just generalizing here, but it seems like
you're
going to choose one. You only have time to be able to focus on how to change or however you would talk.
Yeah.
It's on the low side. You came back, didn't do very well. Maybe you didn't concentrate hard enough. You know, maybe with someone's distracting you and things like that. What can we do to work on that?
Let's get to the test. Giving strength to the challenges. Yeah.
Yeah. and that was eye-opening.
Yeah. That's great advice.
Just rereading it again, or remembering the notes and the book that I read is, yeah, I sort of forgot maybe a little bit on the downside too.
Yeah.
Trying to go that, and boy, that seems like something that should be
innate. Like, yeah, don't sweep things under the rug, address them, but make sure that you're dressing in a way that you're talking about actionable items, that sort of thing. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And
so one of the things you had mentioned to me before was this idea of piggybacking.
Piggybacking, exactly. And that's the... We're jumping a little bit into a different part of a different book, but it's still definitely relevant. And that's... the term that they talked about was piggybacking, and that's saying things like your hard work really paid off. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, well done. You know, I can't believe again, that's using all the things
sure.
that you think
yeah.
that
all
we
the,
just
all
talked
the praise
about,
that
right?
we talked about, yeah.
All sure. those same tools. You are yeah. killing it as a parent saying that, yes, I can't believe it. You know, I didn't focus sure. on saying they're really smart, blah, 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 right? But then following it up, this is the piggybacking part, with something like, why can't you work that hard all the time?
Ah, okay. Okay. So when you...
It's that dig.
It's that little
dig right at the very end.
Compliment kind
yeah,
of thing.
It's that...
You're a great parent when you do that. Why do you have to be such a dick the rest of the time? Yeah.
That's
okay.
right.
Got it.
Yeah. And that last little bit is the part that... No studies that they talked about there, but it's just something to really be mindful of,
mm-hmm.
is that supposedly it just eliminates almost all of the effects that you just done.
Right.
And, you know, when you think back a little bit, okay, yeah, it makes sense, but it's so hard not
yeah,
to.
Yeah, it really is. It really
because
is.
Why
yeah.
can't they just yeah. do it all the time?
Yeah, you'd think if there's success doing something at one point, you know, they'd learn it. But at the same time, you know, we never learn. So why should we expect our kids to?
Yeah, ask my wife why I yeah. can't just put the plate back on the table every other time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why do I have to leave my socks on the floor in the bedroom
yeah.
when I know that it's picking them up and putting them in the laundry basket is going to make her happy? Yeah.
My wife, there's always a drawer left open with yeah. the sock hanging out.
Yeah.
Why can't you just close the goddamn drawer? You close 90% of it. Why can't you just close the last 10 and stick that sock back in it? Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It happens.
Just one of those things.
So it is what it is, but... Boy, those things itself, yeah, that piggybacking part, that was also a good extra tip to come off of.
What I'm going to commit to this week is trying to see how many times, I'm going to try and catch myself and see how many times I piggyback compliments throughout the week and report back to you guys. I am wondering if it's going to be... If it's going to be more than 10 to 20, or if it's going to be some astronomical number of like 50 and beyond.
We're not going for change yet.
Yeah.
We're just trying to acknowledge.
Well, I'm really wondering how many times I do it throughout a week in order to understand yeah. how big of a change it's going to make. I mean, I'm certainly going to try and change it and become cognizant of it before I do it. But I have a feeling it is so innate yeah. in me at this point,
100%.
That I'm, it's going to be a lot more catching than yeah. preventing.
Yeah, right? the first part is awareness.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the biggest thing.
Yeah,
the thing, just figuring that out. Yeah, no question about it. Is catching it first before you're able to really change it.
Yeah,
you know, budgets or any health kick or whatever it is. I think personal trainers, whatever it is, they want to get you to write down all the different things you're eating and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think usually after you look at all the horrible things you
oh, yeah.
added up and things you go, oh man, that's a shock. Okay,
yeah.
now let's go for the change. So Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing when you do any of that, when you write it down and then look over it and quantify it. Oh, man. And I think next week when we're doing our next podcast and I look back at the amount of times that I piggybacked, it's going to be a absolutely remarkable number. I'm a little terrified, honestly.
Yeah, it's that one's a hard one for sure, but a hard one because I think it's just part of it. But at the same time, you would also you kind of think, oh, well, it should be easy enough to do.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's that's one thing.
Yeah, I'm sure I can change it.
Like, yeah.
You know, offer praise and then shut the hell up.
Yeah. It's to me the biggest there's two hard parts is not just figuring out. Okay, maybe not to say that, but it's also trying to think of some way to offer praise in more of a constructive thing.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Like to say that effort, like I'm just going to default to effort 100% of the time. I guess that probably starts to fall on deaf ears, I would think. Like, oh, you must have worked really hard on that.
Yeah.
Oh, you went out skating. You must have worked really hard on that. So things... Like I'm trying to think of words like.
Well, I think you have
perseverance.
To yeah, yeah. Other endearing qualities, like the other characteristics that you would really want to see in somebody.
Yeah.
Like that was so compassionate. That was so empathetic. That was, you know, very kind.
Yeah.
That was. That must have, I don't know, required a lot of intelligence.
Restraint, maybe.
Yeah, restraint. Restraint's a great one.
Yeah.
Like when two kids are fighting or they're about to start a fight and one of the kids walks away, like that,
yeah.
That's a great time to praise them and say, you know what? I'm super proud of you for having the restraint to stay out of that problem.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not going into the school parts of it. We're trying to be... build peak scholars here,
yeah.
You know.
Oh no, not just compassionate, you know.
No, kind we don't want. People. We don't. Yeah. Like, no, we right. don't. Want
yeah,
just, all test scores. Just, that's, yeah. That's the whole point
yeah.
of this
standardized testing. Yeah. That's the only thing we care about. Yeah,
it's hard with these studies too, though, because the test scores are so easy
testing.
Because
yeah.
it's so easy to tell whether there's an improvement or not.
Yeah,
but trying to figure out whether someone is a better human or not, boy, that's a that's a tough slide to go down.
What, you think that's something that's arguable? I think there's there's a variation in how you would measure that.
All right, class, how good of a person do you think Billy is? Yeah.
Worst experience yeah. in Billy's life.
Billy standing yeah, in the corner yeah. over there watching as they get graded.
There are actually companies that do that, like that will do a 360 peer review as a part of your compensation.
Right.
There's an investment management company that I worked with where that was one third of the entire compensation that the portfolio managers would receive.
Wow.
And if they didn't fit into the peer structure that existed at the company, you know, in terms of sharing ideas, that kind of stuff, they would lose up to a third of all their compensation.
Whew.
And so, you know, that as much as we think society is just results, 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 that was an organization that actually terminated people if they didn't fit within the peer review structure of, you know, being a good person from a corporate perspective.
Yeah.
So there's a value to
sure,
it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's no, and we can go on to
yeah.
that side of it later. I guess the one last part, there's one other study that, you know, if you weren't convinced already. Okay.
Right. Okay. Yep.
You know, because we need more data. You know, that must have been a fluke. 400 kids split half and
yeah.
half and 50% increase, 100% increase.
100% increase from, yeah.
It depends on which side. I think it was 50% swing.
50, yeah, 50% on, right, on the positive side and the change in the way you praise.
Yeah.
And a 100% increase over...
On the negative side.
Improvement on yeah. the, you know, how you deal with a negative situation side.
Yeah. So this one, there's a study by, I actually have the doctor's name, Lisa Blackwell, and they published a report in the Academic Journal of Child Development on how to improve child's math scores. And I guess she went into a particular school that was just horrible.
Okay.
And wasn't doing any better year after year, just kept decreasing. Okay.
Right.
And again, split the children into two different groups. one group was taught study skills.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Just
here are things you might want to look at, right? Just all the things. I can't think of all study skills. Doesn't matter. Study skills.
Okay. Okay.
The second group were taught the same type of study skills. It's almost a tongue twister.
Sorry. Yeah, apparently.
Like,
yeah.
Taught there. Tongue twister is evidently also a tongue twister.
Study skills.
Study skills.
Okay.
And then another module or an add-on on how smarts or intelligence is not just innate. It's not part of you.
Okay.
They took turns reading out loud essays on how the brain grows when challenged.
Okay.
When work really hard, how your brain grows out. Okay.
Sure.
And then they were tracked over time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the second group that were taught that extra, how intelligence is not innate.
Yeah.
Smarts is not sort of just a core part of you.
Mm-hmm. It's not genetic.
That's a good point. They improved their study habits and grades, and in a single semester, okay, the school reversed the students' long-time trend of decreasing math grades.
Wow.
Single semester.
That's impressive. So when a child understands
there's something they can control,
that they are not defined that they're not predefined in who they are.
Yeah.
That they have a sense of control over their own ability to improve.
Yeah.
Then within a 3-month period, there was a reversal of the trend.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Again, just another, you know, a different sort of side of things, but just basically the same thing that, you know, you have control over this yourself.
Yeah.
It wasn't focusing on the praise aspect, but just giving the knowledge, right? The know-how that, hey, yeah, I can actually do something about this. It's not just me. And especially the talking about how I would think the biggest part was that how the brain grows when challenged. You want to take hard things.
Yeah.
Because it's the hard things that make you get better.
Right.
That's what you want to go for.
Yeah.
I found it a little sad was that they didn't, I would really be interested to know or find out whether it was just math grades or was it overall everything else? Like, why was it just math?
You know, right.
You would think that taking harder things, it would spill over to all the other parts of the school too.
Language and social studies and all that. Yeah.
I don't know the study. Maybe they just focus.
I imagine math is the easiest to quantify.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
English, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, with our oldest daughter who's 10 now and has ADHD, dyslexia, dyscalculia, and dysgraphia, right? The laundry list of learning disabilities. The most recent change, so we've sent her to a school that specializes in children that have these learning disabilities. The change in learning style that is very, you know, much akin to this, where she's learning how her brain works, and that it's not that she's stupid or disabled or anything like that, just that her brain functions in a different manner. We have seen a remarkable difference in not just her academic capacity and ability, but also in her emotional maturity. And so, you know, speaking to your comment just there, is that it does spill over into all other aspects of her life. And I would credit it almost entirely, because clearly I haven't changed much up to this point. I would credit it to the school and the learning environment in the way that they're approaching this and teaching her about her own brain. And so, yeah, I think that scientific study anecdotally is proven with my child as well. I think that's fantastic. And being able to change, you know, not just adding study skills, but also adding, you know, study skills plus an understanding of why, or the state of a child isn't permanent, right? That they're not genetically predisposed to be a specific way, but that they have an opportunity to change over time.
Yeah. The last bit on the praise part that I'll touch on is that they talked about the biggest mistake parents make is that they figure that their children or maybe students, if from a teacher's perspective, are not advanced enough or sophisticated enough to see or feel the actual true like motivations or intentions behind something or other.
Mm-hmm.
And so another study was by the age of 12, they believe that earning praise from a teacher isn't a sign that you did actually very well. It's actually a sign that you lack ability. You're losing something or other.
Oh, wow.
And that teens, they just didn't appreciate or discounted the praise so much that they believe it's a teacher's criticism, not praise, that really convey positive beliefs in how they're doing.
So you kind of do have to get at them a little bit early.
Yeah. With it. And they found that others who frequently praise children actually get more competitive and more interested in tearing others down throughout that time. So like having your image proper is the main focus there, not anything else. It's like, hey, I need to be up here all the time. It's crazy, the long-term effects of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's really interesting. So if you get a chance, you know, as a dad listening to this, to take some steps towards altering the way that you provide praise, the words that you use, you know, engaging with the negative situations, but in terms of a effort or actionable way, avoiding piggybacking. Like these are all really good steps that you can take that, you know, aren't overly complicated in terms of just, it's slight variations in our language that make a big difference.
Yeah. So you get to be positive. You get to think of the bright side from the first episode there.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
You want to focus on the praise aspect after. So mm-hmm. It's a bright road ahead for the children.
Fantastic. Well, we're just about an hour now. And so we'll probably sign off here. So I've made a commitment to try and count the amount of times that I piggyback in the next week. I'm sure Graham will have some things to report back for us next week as well. We're going to have another great topic next week. Make sure to check out our social media, Instagram, Facebook, that sort of thing. If you have anything that you'd like, topics or books that you'd like us to cover, make sure that you leave a comment on our posts there for us to check out. If you have any tips for us, as additional flawed dads, please provide them to us. And we look forward to seeing you next week. In the meantime, you know, stay safe, and we'll chat with you all next week.
Bye now.